Hello and welcome to the Middle East Today. Yemen's President Ali Abdullah Saleh says he will not step down, but also that he will not drag his country into civil war. This comes as clashes between some tribes continue in Yemen. Now, for more on the situation in Yemen, I am joined by Dr. Ahmed Musalli. He's professor at American University of Beirut, and also by Ambassador Mohammed Qubati. He is opposition political activist, and he's joining us from London. I want to welcome you both to this edition. Now, when you take a look at the situation right now in Yemen, Mr. Musalli, what do you see right now? Are we heading towards civil war?
Well, I hope not, but I think given the situation right now and what has been happening, especially yesterday with the attack on the head of the Hashid tribes, Sheikh Al-Ahmar, I think the Yemeni president has no intention of giving up power, and I think he would probably at least try to use violence now to delay any possible change in the system. I think he's a foxy man, he's a cunning man, and he doesn't have the intention to step down. And in that sense, he may be ready to involve the country in a civil war. I mean, imagine now, for 3 months, the Yemeni people have been very active and have not used, violence against the regime in general, though there were some violent events. Nonetheless, he has been, trying every time when he has to sign the agreement, he would renegade on it under false excuses.
Yeah, and this is what happened. What is he counting on exactly?
Well, I think he's counting that, he is still selling himself as protecting the West and the Arabia and the region from terrorism of Al-Qaeda, and that his collapse would lead to chaos in Yemen, and the chaos in Yemen would lead to the rise of radical Islamic movements, would lead the rise of the Houthi groups, and if you want to look in deep into the Yemen, we are talking about different groups that may vie for power in the future, but they at the same time may find a formula for coexisting and establishing a new regime. So what he is playing on is the differences between the people, and he's selling himself as the only real possible power that can keep Yemen united and that can repress whatever is dangerous to the regional Gulf region and the United States. Or he was very specific about, if you remember, saying that all of this is designated by Al-Qaeda and that Al-Qaeda is doing that. We all know that's not true, and that there is a genuine revolution in Yemen, and people want to get out of this such kind of regime, not only in Yemen, but throughout the Arab world, and the Yemenis have been suffering under him and his economic policies, security policies, and so forth.
Yes. Now, Mr. Ambassador Qubati, why do you think Mr. Abdullah Saleh wants to remain in power, or do you think he's just buying time and he knows that eventually the plan is going to go on?
Well, I think his exit plan from the beginning, he was sort of showing the world he either stays or the whole country will turn into a battlefield and the whole of Yemen is just threatened by disintegration. I think that is his exit plan from the beginning. And he has taken this move over the past 2 days now, where we can see that the country is on the verge of nearly full-blown scale of civil war. We have more than 60 deaths over the past 2 days. So I think he has moved to that state whereby he thinks that the world would sort of side beside him just to keep him there. And I think that was his mistake, He has proven to the world that he's a very dangerous man to stay there in power, and that he's not only threatening the security and stability of Yemen, but the security of the region and perhaps the world at large. The man was given more more than one chance so that he could sign, depart, and leave in exchange for immunity. But unfortunately, three times he sort of backed away from such an initiative. Instead, in spite of him asking for an intervention from our brothers in the GCC area, and I think now he has got to have a real sort of warning that he should leave the country as soon as possible if he is going to, you know, have at least any immunity. I think the state now, I mean, the situation now calls for an urgent call for him to sign and leave as immediately if he is looking for any immunity, or the world has got to move, and the Arab countries, especially the GCC, have got to move to a state whereby he feels the real heat of the moment. I think sanctions should move, freezing of his assets should be moved, the case should be moved to the United Nations for all atrocities and crimes he has committed against humanity in Yemen. So I think the situation is very grave, and we have got to move as fast as possible. The man is a butcher. He doesn't worry at all. He wants the country to disintegrate, fall apart, move into civil war, and then he'll just disappear, because he thinks that's the only way for him to sort of disappear without being prosecuted and without being followed for all the crimes he has been, he's committed against humanity and the funds he has embezzled over the past 30 years.
Yes, Mr. Ambassador, we're going to take a closer look at the role of other Arab states, namely Saudi Arabia. But first, let me take this call from Mr. Muhammad Al-Qadi. He is journalist and political analyst joining us from Yemen. Now, Mr. Al-Qadi, what exactly do you think President Abdullah Saleh is counting on? What does he hope for? Does he hope for more discord among the revolutionaries, or disputes between the tribes?
I think that he has been counting on the more divisions among his opponents, and also among and dragging the country into a sort of a civil war, so that he can spoil the real meaning of a peaceful revolution against his regime. So many tribesmen, including those allies who have been the main source of power for Saleh. The Al-Ahmar family and Hashid Tribal Confederation. Those people, they have been, they have left Saleh in the last few months, and they have joined to support the peaceful revolution against his regime. So Saleh has no leg to stand on now, except that he is counting on the division. He's also counting on the frustration of these people who have been coming out at the protest squares for several months now. And he is thinking that by dragging these tribesmen into a sort of civil war or a fight, in this way he will be able to create more division among the young protesters and also the tribesmen. And in this way, he thinks that he can sustain power and stay longer. But I think by the attack, yesterday he launched against the house of a very important tribal leader. And I have been there. I was there yesterday during the meeting, and I was there. We just left before the shelling started. And I saw that many tribesmen, not only from Hashid and Bakil tribes, but only from other tribes, they were very angry. They were saying that what is interesting is that I have heard tribal leaders insisting on the importance of keeping this revolution against the regime peaceful as much as they can. Yes. But at the same time, they said they will not leave Al-Ahmar tribal leaders alone, and they will be ready to fight against the regime.
So this is the question I wanted to ask you, Mr. Qadi. How long can this protest remain peaceful? I mean, when you talk talk to the people, especially the youth. How long do they say that these protests can remain peaceful?
These people, what is more interesting about these young people, they are not frustrated so far, and their zeal and enthusiasm is still strong, and they say we are ready to stay here for several more months at these protest squares and protest sites until the regime is ousted. I mean, they today they have called for massive rallies across the country, and we're expecting a big protest here this afternoon in Sana'a to demonstrate that this revolution is peaceful, and that Saleh will fail, I mean, to drag them into a fight.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Mr. Al-Qadhi. I'll come back to you, Professor Musalli. What is the role of the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council, namely Saudi Arabia?
Well, so far, I mean, it has been central in making up the agreement and in safeguarding his, you know, exit and getting immunity, as opposed to, for instance, ex-President Mubarak, who is going to be prosecuted for what he has done. I think now what President Saleh has done is actually to alienate as well those who have been trying to find out a face-saving, you know, formula for him. And as the ambassador spoke in London, I agree with him. I think maybe he's going to be now not pressured only by the Gulf states. Maybe it is going to go up to the Security Council, U.S., Western power as well. I think now President Saleh has a very short margin to play with. And I think the GCC, as well as, international powers and organizations, do not want Yemen to fall into a civil war for reasons I mentioned at the beginning. And this is what he is counting on, what Saleh is counting on. Notice that the massive movement of the youth is still up till now very peaceful. And what the president is trying to do is to create a military conflict with the tribes in order to justify his stay in power. Now, he lost most of the support of the tribes. Now he has some divisions of the army that are with him, especially the Republican Guards, but I think he may be also losing this as well. But his time is not going to survive for long, but it could be a very bloody and messy end.
Mm-hmm. Yes, now he might be losing the support of many of the tribes. However, some analysts believe that the U.S. and perhaps even Saudi Arabia still support him. Is he using the Al-Qaeda card in order to get their support?
That was his main card, as well as saying that if I fall, there will be a Shiite imamate created in the north, which will be aligned with Iran. I mean, he's trying to play on the fears of a lot of Persian Gulf states, and therefore, in that sense, if you see the support by Saudi Arabia could be sustained, but up to a point, now the tribes are not, you know, supporting the intervention of Iran. I mean, the issue of the imamate is not anymore an issue that people are really seeking to create. He's, fighting with the Houthis for 7-8 years, you know, since I think, if I remember correctly, about 6-7 wars, always ended, you know, with no result. The Houthis were not, they were pressured, you know, and some, he was trying to make them as if they are agent for Iran. So all that play worked for a while, but it's not anymore now. I think people are not buying it anymore. Remember that the Saudis prefer to have a peaceful transition. Why? Because they don't want to have on their border groups of, people that are opposed to them. So a peaceful transition to power is good for Saudi Arabia, as well as for the U.S., who is interested in the Gulf area.
Yes. Ambassador Kobati, let me come to you. How do you take a look at the role of the U.S., specifically There have been reports or analysis saying that perhaps the U.S. and Saudi Arabia want to somewhat sow discord between the revolutionaries in order for there to be enough time for Saleh to go peacefully away from power.
Well, I think that sort of view or arrangement has faltered completely. You know, the man, you know, part of his last game, he's trying to portray as if there's the whole problem in Yemen is a crisis between himself and the Al Ahmar family, you know, which is a big business and at one time very close to him, you know. But he's trying to sort of jump from the big issue that he's facing an actual revolution and people are asking for change. So once he took it into that sort of into that new chapter. He has managed to push himself into a corner whereby now we are facing very, very swiftly, you know, the whole time is passing by very quickly and we could easily move into a civil war. We have been informed by the tribes are moving now in Sa'da, Sheikh Manna, all the tribes, you know, are trying to move to Sana'a and will be actually facing that issue of disintegration of Yemen. Ali Abdullah Saleh has been a vexing problem for both the U.S. administration and the Saudi Arabia. And I think now, since yesterday, it was quite obvious that the man has used U.S.-trained units and also military equipment given by the United States in domestic battles inside the country. So I think the question now goes towards the U.S. The U.S. have got to move quickly because he was there. Ally, he has been a henchman there, and we think that we should, especially yesterday here there was we want President Obama, there was here on the Times a letter by Obama and the premier here in UK, Mr. Cameron, saying that they will side with the Arab revolts, they will side with the youths. We want to see what sort of siding is that. Is it pushing the country into a state of civil war? I think the question has got to move as soon as possible towards the United Nations, and the regime has got to face its responsibilities as regards what is pushing. It's pushing the whole area into a state of turmoil. The Saudis are really now have got to feel that easily this sort of clashes can. They can easily move towards their border, and I would not be surprised if there is any spillover to their side. Mm-hmm. There could be refugees moving because people are moving from a capital which is nearly 3 million, has got a population of 3 million. People are trying to leave the capital. And if in Yemen we have faced, refugees from across the sea, where we have got the Gulf of Aden separating us from Somalia, we have got more than 1 million refugees now. I think the Saudis will have to see near their borders 2 to 3 million refugees very, very easily. The whole yes. world is now have got to really shoulder its responsibility. They have got to bite the bullet and tell the man, their henchman, to leave from there. Mm-hmm. And he has got to face, at least from our brothers, did you see, we were surprised. We haven't seen the move they have taken against Libya. With this man, you know, he has spurned them, he has insulted them 3 times. And yes. they have kept the door open, saying, well, the initiative is there if he wants to sign it. There is no way that initiative can continue on the base that he'll stay for another 1 month after signing it. The only way is for him to sign and leave yes, if he's going to have any chance to stand any immunity. And that's a practical immunity because we know that any legal immunity or constitutional immunity given by any government, the Yemeni government, can be easily faltered, and anybody taking a pot shot against Ali Abdullah Saleh once he leaves the country, he's going to, in front of any court, it will just go and succeed. So his only option is to move now to Jeddah, and we have said a long time for this man that he's one of the people, 10 people promised to move to Jeddah, but it seems that he doesn't want to take that.
All right, but what is the role of Saudi Arabia,
and he'll be
Ambassador Kubati?
Very bloody and fatal destiny.
Yeah, Ambassador Kubati, you're talking about how Saudi Arabia could, how the situation could, I mean, transform into a probably a problem for its internal security, for Saudi Arabia's internal security?
I think, unfortunately, our brothers in Saudi Arabia, they knew they were dealing with an untrustworthy man, a dishonest man, and they have taken his promises. Whenever, for five times, the GCC Secretary General comes to Sana'a, and every time the man just, you know, falters on his promises. So I think they were trying, as far as I can see, they were trying to sort of, you know, defend or keep some dignity for one of the rulers of the Arabian Peninsula who has been there for more than 30 years, and they have given him that chance. But I think now what the world sees, and the Yemeni, especially the Yemeni population, they can never understand such a stance from our brother at the GCC. They know that this man has really, I mean, he has insulted them more than once. It is something which is disgracing for us as Yemenis. This is not a statesman. This is a man who is just, you know, I don't know, he's a gangster, perhaps. So they have got to take this back to him, and I expect that, you know, their initiative should be just withdrawn completely instead of saying it, because as the GCC, you know, General Secretary left Sana'a 3 days ago, and he went back, we're surprised that the door kept open and said, we only suspended this initiative. I think it should have been withdrawn, and if there is, and now the man is asking, now the President, we've heard over the past 4 or 5 hours, is asking, yes, we want our GCC brothers to intervene again, yes. And I would like the initiative to go forward. I think if the initiative has got to go forward, it should go on a news, on the specific, bargain, which was built from the beginning. He leaves as soon as possible, immediately, opposite or in vis-a-vis, or in exchange for immunity, which he has been looking for.
Yes, well,
and
one
he should
more,
know that
one more question, because our time
exit
seems
plan
to be
for
running
him
out.
To push the country into a set of disintegration, it means that he will be followed by the whole world and by our brothers everywhere. This man should not be allowed at all to push the area into that state of turmoil, which is actually threatening the stability and peace of
yes,
the region.
Why couldn't the opposition parties be united? Why couldn't they not safeguard their united position? I mean, a group of the tribes accepted the plan, whereas the youth, the revolutionary youth, did not.
I think this is part of the flaws in the initiative from the beginning, because the initiative from the beginning, so it addressed the matter as if it was a problem or a crisis between the official or the formal opposition and Ali Abdullah Saleh, and that was a big mistake. The flaw and a functional and structural defect in the whole initiative. It was never a crisis between the formal opposition and Ali Abdullah Saleh. This was a big, I mean, this was a revolution facing the man. So I think the initiative, and I have, you know, sort of criticized that those points and defects, it should have taken from the beginning on board, and it should have been inclusive. It should have included all other sections of the opposition, the Southern Movement, the Houthis, the youths, the opposition outside the country. All of them should have been included, and we knew that. Even if the man signed and left the country, we'll have to have a sort of a comprehensive and universal dialogue conference for everybody, you know, to put his views there, and hopefully to get out with a new constitution for a new democratic and civilian Yemen, built as well on the question. I mean, the question of federalism should be there, because we in the south will never sort of go back to that state of unification whereby the different areas of Yemen has been neglected.
Yes.
Completely.
Yes.
A federation of the United Yemen should be one, or actually it should be a basis for the new Yemen, which is going to
yes,
come
thank
after
Saleh. Thank you very much, Ambassador. Dr. Musalli, do you think that historically this crisis has been somewhat helped by the issue of the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council rejected Yemen's membership in this council? Do you think that helped the crisis?
Well, definitely. I mean, the GCC is in a way very responsible for the problem historically, and not only now. They could have supported Yemen as Yemen, not only the president of Yemen, economically and so forth. The Yemen has been used by the Gulf, especially Saudi Arabia, the United States, and so on, to fight their enemies. On the other hand, the president was given a free hand to do whatever he wants internally, on the assumption that he is serving the interest of, you know, fighting terrorism, standing against Iran, securing the seas around it, creating bases for foreign powers, and so forth. The problem for the GCC and others is not internal. For them, the problem is external. The ambassador is talking more about the internal problem, which is true. I mean, there's no qualm about that. But I think the problem now is how to replace this Yemen with a Yemen that will be playing the same role internationally and regionally, constructed on a different basis. And I think that is the challenge for Saudi Arabia and the GCC. And this is why they are giving President Saleh more chances in order maybe for them to be able to set up a system that will be serving them and not necessarily the Yemeni people.
Yes, Professor Ahmad Musalli, thank you very much for joining us. Ambassador Mohammed Qubati also joining us from London. Well, thank you very much. Our emails, metoday@presstv.com. Stay with Press TV for more on the crisis in Yemen. Goodbye for now.